Thanks for joining us. This is Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. We cover the elections even further in our new segment called The Economics of Elections inside the show Notepad. And of course, one key area to look at is, of course, the National Mortgage Corporation, or Cagamas. As we all know, Cagamas was established in 1986 to promote the broader spread of home financing and home ownership. And of course, their clients include the financial institutions as well as the public sector at large. One key area that we need to look at is, of course, the issuances of corporate bonds and sukuk by Cagamas. But in return, what would be the products and offerings that they in turn deliver to their clients and customers? Joining me in the studio today is Datuk Chung Chee Leong, the President and CEO of Cagamas Berhad. So, Datuk Chung, thanks again for taking the time to speak with us. It is exciting times, of course, you are doing your work at Cagamas, but it's also important for us to talk about some of the items that revolves around the elections. And do you feel that some of the work that is being done by Cagamas is going to be affected by the campaign period or going to be affected by the elections per se? Or is it more of a business as usual for you?
Thank you, Ibrahim, for having me. An election is a demonstration of a democratic process, and it has to take place. In fact, in every democratic country, I think elections are held. So how it would affect Cagamas? Basically, I think as far as Cagamas is concerned, we look forward to a strong and stable government, because basically that would be able to attract more foreign investors to our bonds and sukuk issuances. But in any case, I think it's very much business as usual for us, because we are basically continuing our mandate in fulfilling the aspirations for home ownership among Malaysians.
Let's talk about the macro outlook for the home ownership status in Malaysia. Could you share with us some statistics regarding that figure?
Well, as far as home ownership in Malaysia is concerned, I think it's relatively high in terms of the numbers. I think it's 70% of Malaysians actually own a, own a house. In essence, this is actually a good rate as compared to some of our neighbouring countries. So we do see that technically, in terms of property prices, I think it is somewhat moderate at this point in time. It's not the sharp increases as you see in the early 2000s. But in any case, prices continue to be there. And the demand, especially for houses which are 500,000 and below, are actually still there, because we do see a lot of Malaysians, especially younger Malaysians, still looking forward to purchase their first home. That was why some of the government initiative, for example, the scheme Rumah Pertamaku, which we are part of, is actually gaining momentum in terms of the number of borrowers availing to this facility. This would actually allow them to borrow 100% or even 110% if the houses are below 300,000 ringgit. So in essence, home ownership is still high on the agenda of most young Malaysians, as well as those who do not own a house. But at this point in time, maybe there are some who are still having a wait-and-see scenario, given that they just came out of the pandemic and they have been affected. Maybe some of them have been affected somewhat by this pandemic.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about some of the policies that the caretaker government, previously the government of Malaysia, was doing. Do you feel that these policies are going to see a major revamp moving ahead? What would be some of the items that you can share with us in terms of Cagamas preparing your work in order for the policies to be either continued or new policies being introduced? Is that going to derail the way you plan out your projects?
Well, firstly, I don't think there will be major changes, for example, in terms of climate change. I think the aspiration of the country, a whole nation approach in addressing the issue of climate change will continue moving forward. So as far as Cagamas is concerned, that's why we're looking at in terms of preparing with a green agenda, with our green housing agenda, where we're actually trying to have an entire ecosystem ready to provide green housing, green mortgages, and ultimately the issuance of green bonds and green sukuk.
How is the difference between the green mortgage or green home financing versus the normal mortgages that we have right now?
Well, firstly, for green mortgages, it has to be supported or is actually used to finance the purchase of a green certified home.
Okay. Who certifies the home to be green or not?
By recognized agencies in the country. So basically,
such as,
well, there are a number of them. So basically, I think as far as these entities are concerned, they are recognized globally as well. They are also global, what you call these entities that actually give this certification. But I think what is important is green certification does not just mean putting solar panels, solar heater, or water harvesting system. It also means looking at the design of the house, the structure, the materials used, and all those. So technically, with that definition, we can actually encourage more developers to actually build more green certified houses. As you know, currently today in Malaysia, most of these green certified houses are actually at high range, the expensive bungalows and semi-detached houses.
Is it?
We are looking at how we can actually also encourage developers to build affordable houses, green affordable houses.
So
that would translate into
what constitutes green affordable house? Because if you get for these certifications, I mean, I'm still looking for the agency that certifies it to be green, at all, by the way. Wouldn't this drive up cost in terms of trying to meet these kind of standards?
Well, firstly, I think if you look at putting in solar panels and all that, it will increase costs. But if you're looking at the structure itself, looking at the design, looking at the materials used, it will not significantly increase the cost. I think what is important is that when you have an affordable home, it's not just about the price of the initial price that you pay for the house. It's also about the cost of living in that house. For example, if you have a house that you need to put on your lights as well as the aircon 24 hours, it will actually drive up your utility costs.
What does Cagamas constitute as an affordable home? What's the price range like?
Well, currently it's consistent with the government definition, which is the 500,000 and ringgit and below. And that, yes, is still unaffordable, I think, for many young Malaysians as well as the many
even older Malaysians. Yeah.
Yes. So technically, there's something that we would need to look at. Obviously, you see, the end game of this is really if you issue a green bond or a green sukuk. If you do that in Europe today, actually you can have a huge savings of about 20 to 50 basis points. But in Malaysia, probably you just get 1 or 2 basis point savings. So if we can drive towards a greater savings in terms of basis point, in terms of the yield, then I think that could be translated into the lower cost of borrowing for the ultimate house buyer.
Perhaps investor base in Malaysia, and if you issue suku, investor base somewhere in Middle East might not necessarily be sensitive towards ESG and green kind green suku. Is that the issue right now for the very narrow basis points yield for these green financing?
Well, firstly, there are very few in the market today, but more and more funds are actually setting up or allocating a portion of the fund under management to green or ESG-related investment.
Perhaps equity, not necessarily fixed income, yeah?
No, but both fixed income as well as equity. So in terms of that, you will actually see if that momentum increases and you have more and more investors being aware of the ultimate consequences of climate change. So, and they support the government's aspiration for zero gas emission by 2050, for example. So that would actually drive them in terms of allocating more and more funds towards this cost.
Let's move on to agile financing. We've seen how Bank Negara has introduced 5 licensees for the digital banks. Your major clients right now would be the financial institutions. They've done fairly well during the pandemic, even now coming out of the pandemic. Very recently, Affin Bank has issued an 18-cent dividend per share, so that's interesting as well. And Affin Bank is a rather small bank. I can only imagine what the other banks are earning right now for this year. Moving ahead, how will these new digital banks, for instance, survive against the incumbents right now? Some of them are partnering with the incumbents, but many others are starting out life as it is. And being a digital bank, they have to make their case to be profitable in order for them to get the license. So Bank Negara, at least during the paperwork, does see some pathway to profitability. Is agile financing going to be helping people at the same time helping the digital banks themselves?
Well, I think the digital banks will be focusing very much into a niche market of their own, depending on what they're looking at. But I think their intention is really to help the underserved. I think to reach out to many segments of the economy which could not be served maybe by the current brick and mortar banking system. So I think it's essential that with the digital bank in place, I think the outreach is greater and inclusivity should increase. So we will see that definitely there will be new products, new innovation that will take place with digital banks. So we ourselves are also working with some of these potential digital banks to see how we can work together and collaborate in terms of helping the underserved segment.
Okay, fantastic. We'll go for one short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more with the President and CEO of Chagamas Berhad. We'll be right back after these messages. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me in the studio Dato' Chung Chee Leong, President CEO of Chagamas Berhad. Dato', this whole moment right now is very important. The equities is seeing a very, dormant kind of behaviour. Very recently, I spoke to the regional equities head of Maybank. He was arguing in his research report that people might not necessarily do much trading until the election is done. This is consistent with other research equities report. Of course, you're not part of the equities sphere, but you are part of the capital markets conversation. Do you feel that right now, because of the elections, some of the activities in the capital markets might take a step back and see or adopt the whole wait-and-see approach, Dato'?
Well, firstly, I think it's not just about the election. It's also about the current market volatility itself because of the rate hikes in the US particularly, with a potential hike coming as well in next month.
Yep.
So basically because
300 basis points, with some speculating up to another 75 basis points, perhaps even at least 50. Then the divergence is great. Bank Negara is not raising that much. And of course, China is sitting still. It's just it's a bizarre world, if you think about it.
Yeah, so basically, obviously, the market has already priced in some part of that.
Which market has priced in? That one is also another important conversation.
No, I mean, most markets have actually expecting there will be an increase in terms of the US dollars hike. But in any case, I think because of this volatility and uncertainty resulting from supply chain disruption, global geopolitical issues and things like that, it is obvious that some investors will stay in the sideline. But as far as issuances of bonds and sukuk in Malaysian ringgit is concerned, you don't really see that as a problem because we really have ready-made funds that require to purchase bonds and sukuk, for example.
Yeah.
So for us, actually, in terms of issuances and the demand, is still there.
So are you thinking about issuing more ringgit sukuk and bonds, or you're still thinking about US dollar as well?
Well, we have in mind, obviously, always also looking at foreign currencies. This year, we have done about 500 of Sing dollars so far, but technically, 500 million of Sing dollars. But technically, we are looking at opportunities to issue whichever currency as long as the yields are lower. I think at this point in time, ringgit is probably a very good benchmark for us to issue in. So that's why we have continued to issue in ringgit. Although we continue to explore other opportunities, as long as the cost is lower, we will issue those currency.
So turning back to what you were mentioning earlier, it's not just about the elections, of course, the broader market environment and the volatility tends to, speculatively intends to continue next year. The issue of consumer inflation rate is rising in the UK, in the US, and of course in Malaysia. Perhaps because of the rising interest rates from the consumer space, we might not necessarily see a massive home buying spree, for instance. How does this affect the long-term goal of Chagamas moving ahead?
Well, contrary to that, actually, in the recent months, we have actually seen a surge in terms of purchase of houses.
Even as the increase of interest rates happening?
Under the scheme Rumah Pertamaku, my first home scheme, actually this year we are expecting about 27,000 of households to be able to avail this facility, meaning that these are the
new buyers.
Is that
a lot, 27,000 versus what?
Last year was only about 22, I think, or so. So technically it's an increase. So we do foresee that next year the momentum will continue, although, like you said, they are obviously pressure point. They have probably individuals as well as households that are affected by this recent hike.
Scheme Rumah Pertamaku, is it variable financing or is it fixed?
It is variable. It's actually given by 26 financial institutions with the support of the government. Actually, the government is helping the borrowers to pay the guarantee fees. Mm. And Cheka Mas is the guarantor for that facility.
Okay, let's talk about reverse mortgage at large. Perhaps some of the viewers right now might not necessarily be familiar with reverse mortgage. Datuk?
Okay, as far as reverse mortgage is concerned, it's really a facility, a loan facility meant for the retirees above 55 years of age. Mm. Now, in terms of this, is this type of facility or what we call the scheme Saraan Berjaga, it will convert the value of your house. Okay, if you have a house, it will convert the value of a house to a monthly stream of income until the death of the borrower. Mm. And what is good is that the borrower is able to live in the house, so technically there's no sale. He actually only charged the property to Cheka Mas, and the repayment of the loan only take place upon the death of the borrower, or if they are joint borrowers, the last of the two borrowers.
So what does the borrower get? Is it monthly stream of income?
Yes, they will get a monthly stream of income.
That how is that calculated against the cost or the value of the house?
Well, we have an actuarial model in terms of...
My mom has a 500,000 ringgit home. She's an extremely healthy young woman at 75. How much would she get if she remortgages the house?
I think she should get about 5,000 or so, or even more, depending again on the type of property, the location of the properties, and obviously the valuation of the property.
So how's the rollout been across Malaysia?
Well, we just started the pilot in Kuala Lumpur as well as Selangor in January. We have recently, I think last week, rolled out to Johor Bahru as well as Penang.
So and it's the reception new. Or the take-up rate?
The take-up rate has been quite encouraging. In fact, it's actually exceeded our expectation.
What was the expectation?
Well, the expectation was because it's a new product, it was only meant for Klang Valley initially as a pilot. We actually targeting about 20 cases a month
and
at that moment.
How much was and the
We have actually received quite a substantial number of applications. Obviously, the process will take place because we need to do an actual valuation of the property.
So substantial means what, double that number of 20 cases per month, triple?
Well, it's around that number or slightly more. So, but like I said, as far as the process is concerned, we will need to do a valuation. And then, obviously, when the loan is approved, the disbursement will take place.
And let's talk about the sensitivity of Sharia products against Cheka Mas products that is offered to the retail market. Are they sensitive towards Islamic products? Say, for instance, the reverse mortgage. Is there an Islamic product of it?
Yes, the scheme Saraan Berjaga Islamic, or the Sharia-compliant version, was just recently launched last week. Mm. Again, I think that was catered to the... borrowers who are looking for a Sharia-compliant product. Mm. So I think so far we have actually been receiving good number of queries. In fact, our counterparts, which is the Employee Provident Fund and AKPK, Agency Counseling and Pelikmat Pelanggan, they are actually our front line, basically in facing these borrowers, potential borrowers. And I think they have been receiving a good number of inquiries so far.
So the reverse mortgage product itself is an interesting product to talk about. I'm wondering why not say the retirees, sell the house and then just profit from that particular sale. What's the purpose of remortgaging the house and then, you know, towards the end of life? And perhaps, you know, the other alternative, which is just to sell it.
Yeah, obviously this is the alternative. But if you sell your house, where will you stay? Unless you have another house. Technically, the reverse mortgage is really to help people who are cash poor and asset rich. Mm. So the difference between selling and reverse mortgage is basically when you sell a house, you get all the cash up front, and basically then you don't have a place to stay. You need to go and rent a house. In this case, you get
Airbnb, somewhere in Latin America. That's what we do.
Yeah, maybe that's possible. But also, the other point, I think when we talk to some of these potential borrowers, they said if they sell the house, they will have many long-distance relatives, which they have not seen for a long time,
coming to them
and asking them to, you know, we need some money for business, we need some for some other
of course.
Things.
Of course. Yeah. Okay, we'll go for one short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more with Cheka Mas President and CEO. Thanks for staying on with us. This is our special program called Economics of Elections within the show of Notepad with me, Ibrahim Sani. In the studio with me is the President CEO of Cagamas Berhad, Dato' Chung Chee Leong. Dato', very quickly, let's talk about some of the new offerings and products that we might see coming out of Cagamas, not just for the retail market, but perhaps some of your Insti clients as well.
Okay, firstly, as you know, Cagamas' mandate is to promote home ownership among Malaysians. Mm. So the first set of products would probably evolve around affordable housing. So we could enhance further maybe the scheme Rumah Pertamaku. We could also look at enhancing and rolling out scheme Saraan Berjaga, our reverse mortgage program, to other localities. In terms of the wholesale market, as you know, Cagamas has been a provider of liquidity to financial institutions through our issuances of bonds and sukuk in the last 35 years. So we will continue to look at bespoke risk management, capital management and liquidity management solutions mm-hmm. specifically for individual financial institutions mm-hmm. and also perhaps for the new players in the financial market, for example, the digital banks. Mm-hmm. So this is something that we're looking at. And of course, the main another segment of what our focus is in terms of our strategy moving forward is in terms of building the green housing agenda for the country.
So on top of all this, you are celebrating something on the weekend. Perhaps you can share with us what that is.
Well, Cagamas will be celebrating its 35th anniversary this weekend. And in terms of, we have been incorporated since 1986. It started operation with the issuance of 100 million bond in 1987. So far, we have issued already 382 billion ringgit worth of bonds and sukuk, so making Cagamas the largest issuer of corporate debts in Malaysia. Mm. So the celebration is really just about, you know,
I actually worked on two sukuk when I was in debt common markets. That was interesting. Cagamas' debt common markets. I was actually doing two sukuk for you.
Yes, you are.
When you guys were still using CIMB as your underwriter. But yes, times have changed. Because of this, what will be some of the celebratory moments that you want to share with us during this 35th anniversary?
Maybe I can share some milestones where Cagamas have gone through in the last 35 years. Firstly, of course, it's the first issuance of a bond by Cagamas in 1987. The first issuance of a Sukuk Murabaha in 1994. Mm. Okay, and then we did the residential mortgage-backed securitization in 2004 and 2005. Mm. The conventional one in 2004 and, of course, the world-first rated Sukuk Musharaka residential mortgage-backed securities mm-hmm. way back in 2005. Mm-hmm. 2011 saw the launch of the scheme Rumah Pertamaku, meaning mm-hmm. Cagamas participation in the mortgage guarantee programs. Mm-hmm. Then in 2014, mm-hmm. Cagamas actually entered into the international market through issuances of dollar. US dollar, Chinese renminbi, as well as Hong Kong dollar, Sing dollar, and OC dollar issuances.
There's a lot of support in the terms of capital markets, obvious on that one. Perhaps we wish you all the best in that. And of course, the kind of ability for you to offer retail products is also quite crucial. And there's a lot of customers that might necessarily want the kind of solutions that you're providing. So I do wish you all the best. And of course, perhaps before we end this show, some statements that you want to share with us when it comes to elections, particularly to all Rakyat Malaysia, people like you and me.
Well, all I can say is that all Malaysians should go out and vote and exercise the democratic right.
Fantastic. What a way to end. That was our conversation with Dato' Chung Chee Leong, the President and CEO of Cagamas Berhad. If you want to learn more about Cagamas Berhad and the work that they do, and perhaps see what the kind of support that they give towards the local capital markets, do check their website out. For now, we continue on our elections coverage on Astro Awani. Do stay on with us. My name is Ibrahim Sani. Catch you in the next one.